There's one thing for sure today. Gummit eyes are watching you. They see your every move, what you read, how much you spend, where you go, with whom you interact. When you wake up in the morning, when you're watching television or reading the internet, every move you make is being monitored, mined for data, crunched, and tabulated in order to see who you are or what makes you tick and how best to control you when and if it becomes necessary to bring you in line. Indeed, simply by liking or sharing an article or video on Facebook or retweeting it on Twitter, you're most likely flagging yourself as a potential renegade, revolutionary, or anti-government extremist. In other words, a terrorist. It doesn't matter if you like or share a particular article. Simply by reading it or any other articles relating to government wrongdoing, such as surveillance, policeman misconduct, or civil liberties, that's enough to get you categorized as a particular kind of person that needs to be spied on just in case you decide to challenge the government in any way. Chances are, you've already been assigned a color-coded threat score, which ranges from green to red. So police are forewarned about your potential inclination to be a troublemaker. What threat score you get depends on whether you've had a career in the military, you've posted a comment perceived as threatening on Facebook, suffer from a particular medical condition, own a licensed firearm, or know someone who knows someone who might have committed a crime. In other words, you might already be flagged as a potentially anti-government person in a government database somewhere, such as Maine Corps, that identifies and tracks individuals who aren't inclined to march in lockstep to the police state's dictates. Make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen, the government has the know-how. As The Intercept has reported, the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, and other government agencies are increasingly investing in and relying on corporate surveillance technologies that can mine constitutionally protected speech on social media platforms such as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This is in order to identify potential extremists and predict who might engage in future acts of anti-government behavior, so-called. What all this means is that when the government sees all, knows all, and has an abundance of laws to render even the most seemingly upstanding citizen a criminal and a lawbreaker, then the old adage that you've got nothing to worry about if you've got nothing to hide no longer applies. What all this means is we're approaching a time in which we will be forced to choose between obeying the dictates of government agents, that is, the law or whatever a government official deems the law to be, and maintaining our individuality, integrity, and independence. When most people talk about privacy, they mistakenly assume it protects only that which is hidden behind a wall or under someone's clothing. Sadly, the courts have fostered this misunderstanding where they're constantly shifting opinion of what constitutes an expectation of privacy, as they call it, barring any immediate danger to another person, which is far different from the carefully crafted threats to national security the government uses to justify its actions. It's no one's business what you read, what you say, where you go, whom you spend your time with, and how you spend your money. Unfortunately, privacy as we once knew it is dead. In George Orwell's classic novel, 1984, he predicted a future where, and I'm quoting, "You had to live, did live, from habit that became instinct, in the assumption that every sound you made was overheard, and, except in darkness, every movement scrutinized." This has become our reality today. We now find ourselves in the unenviable position of being monitored, managed, and controlled by our technology, which answers not to us, the citizenry, but to our government and corporate rulers. Consider that on any given day, the average American going about his daily business will be monitored, surveilled, spied on, and tracked in more than 20 different ways by both government and corporate eyes and ears. A byproduct of this new age in which we live, whether you're walking through a store, driving your car, checking your email, or talking to friends and family on the phone, you can be sure and certain that some government agency, whether it's the NSA or some other entity, is listening in and tracking your behavior. Mind you, this doesn't even begin to touch on the corporate trackers that monitor your purchases, web browsing, Facebook posts, and other activities taking place in the cybersphere. For example, local police, believe it or not, have been using Stingray devices mounted on their cruisers to intercept cell phone calls and text messages without court-issued search warrants. Doppler radar devices. which can detect human breathing and movement within a home are already being employed by the police to deliver arrest warrants and are being challenged in court. License plate readers, yet another spying device used by the police and made possible through funding by the Department of Homeland Security, can record up to 1,800 license plates per minute. They are tracking you wherever you go. Moreover, these license plate readers, or better yet, surveillance cameras, can also photograph those inside a moving car. Reports have surfaced that the Drug Enforcement Administration has been using the cameras in conjunction with facial recognition software to build a vehicle surveillance database of the nation's cars, drivers, and passengers. Cameras on light and telephone poles sold to gullible communities as a surefire means of fighting crime is yet another DHS program that is blanketing small and large towns alike with government-funded and monitored surveillance cameras. It's all part of a public-private partnership that gives government officials access to all types of surveillance cameras on sidewalks, buildings, buses, even those installed on private property. Couple these with the surveillance cameras with facial recognition and behavior sensing technology, and you have the makings of pre-crime cameras, which can scan your mannerisms, compare you to preset parameters for so-called normal behavior, and alert the police if you trigger any computerized alarms as being suspicious. Now developers are creating a radar gun that can actually show if you or someone in your car is texting. Another technology being developed is called a textilizer device. It allows police to determine whether someone was driving while distracted. Refusing to submit one's phone to testing could result in a suspended or revoked driver's license. It's a sure bet that anything the government welcomes and funds too enthusiastically is bound to be a Trojan horse full of nasty, invasive surprises. Case in point, police body cameras. Held as an easy fix to police abuses, these body cameras, made possible by funding from the Department of Justice, have turned police officers into roving surveillance cameras. Of course, if you try to request access to that footage, you'll find yourself being led a merry and costly chase through miles of red tape, bureaucratic footmen, and unhelpful courts. There's also the Internet of Things. This refers to the growing number of smart appliances and electronic devices now connected to the Internet and capable of interacting with each other and being controlled remotely. These range from thermostats and coffee makers to cars and TVs. Of course, there's a price to pay for such easy control and access. That price amounts to relinquishing ultimate control of and access to your home, to government and corporate partners. For example, while Samsung smart TVs are capable of listening to what you say, thereby allowing users to control the TV using voice commands, it also records everything you say and relays it to a third party. That third party is the government. Then again, the government doesn't really need to spy on you using your smart TV when the FBI can remotely activate the microphone on your cell phone and record your conversations. The FBI also admits to doing the same thing with laptop computers without the owner knowing any better. Drones, which are taking the skies en masse, are the converging point for all the weapons and technology already available to law enforcement agencies. In fact, drones can listen in on your phone calls and see you through the walls of your home. They can scan your biometrics and photograph you and track your movements, and even corral you with sophisticated, deadly weapons. All these technologies add up to a society in which there is little room for indiscretions, imperfections, or acts of independence, especially not when the government can listen in on your phone calls, monitor your driving habits, track your movements, scrutinize your purchases, and peer through the walls of your home. In such an environment, you're either a paragon of virtue or you're a criminal. This is the creepy, calculating, yet diabolical genius of the American police state. The very technology we held as revolutionary and liberating has now become our prison, jailer, probation officer, big brother, and father knows best, all rolled into one. Thus, to be an individual today, to not conform, to have even a shred of privacy, and to live beyond the reach of the government's roving and roaming eyes and technology spies, one must not only be a rebel, but rebel. As Philip K. Dick, the visionary writer who gave us such films as Minority Report and Blade Runner, advised, and I'm quoting, "If, as it seems, we're in the process of becoming a totalitarian society in which the state apparatus is all-powerful, the ethics most important for the survival of the true, free human individual would be cheat, lie, evade, fake it, be elsewhere, forge documents, build improved electronic gadgets in your garage that'll outwit the gadgets used by the authorities." Folks, there's no gray area any longer. If there's to be any hope for freedom and privacy, we the people had better get to work.